Otherwise, we won't have that. So, gentlemen, great to have you. Now, I'm gonna leave it open to you, all the three of you, on if there's a particular area that you want to discuss. Not just necessarily in regarding healing, but like Steve and I were talking last night about the word. And in fact, William, I think what you began with is a really good example of how we can get derailed in our walk about what we're, you know, what we're believing. And Steve got dropped again. Anyway, I'll call him, but we'll still keep going. And you know, Bartek, Steve, William had an incident where he's had this issue with gallbladder. We've prayed. He's been really, basically, what, 90% good? Is that right, William?
Sure.
Okay. And then he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, gave him the doom and gloom report. And now he has to deal with that from that place of, okay, I'm not going to agree with this. I'm going to agree with God. And that's what we're I think that would be a really good discussion, because it affects everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Steve, we're here. It affects everyone. Steve, we were talking about how when we're believing the word, we're declaring the word, we're moving in faith, and then someone comes along, whether it's a doctor or a relative or whatever, and totally derails us and says, oh no, this is really the condition, or this is really the problem, or you're never going to get out of it. And what we want to discuss is, how do we overcome that? Okay, so Steve, are you still there?
Uh-huh.
I think he's gotten dropped again, but anyway, I'll just keep looking at what he's saying.
He's dropped.
Yeah, he's dropped. I'm calling him again. So, and Bartek, you are still there? Can you just write if you're still there, Bartek? Because we can't see whether you are or not. No, he got dropped as well. Anyway, I'm just going to keep going while we get dropped, and we'll keep calling people back. So, William, that's like a classic example, isn't it, of how the enemy can work against us. And what do we do with it, though? We still have power over him. You know, we have authority over him, and we don't have to line ourselves up with fear, because fear is his language. Okay, Steve, you're back. So we were talking about, Steve, we were talking about how William's had a condition. It's been about 90% healed, and then now the doctors made this negative report to him and said, you know, all of these other bad things. And now he's having to go to a place of, what am I going to do with that information? Am I going to line up with it, or am I going to uphold the word of God? And so, William, how did you, how have you tackled it so far? Because it's just yesterday, isn't it?
What I did?
Yes.
I got together with a sister of mine of faith, and we just began to talk about the goodness of God, and then I began to share what God has done in the past, and then I also listened, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland the other day.
Okay.
Also, and so, in other words, I'm confessing the word of God rather than...
Yes.
Agreeing with what the doctor said. So
yes, you're feeding yourself the right food.
And I'm here today.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Because that is how we triumph. And I mean, the God showed me something. I was in a heavy battle recently, a court thing, and quite scary. And what God showed me was, without a battle, there's no victory. And so we're in the battle to have victory. We're not in the battle to lose. We're in the battle for God to give us victory. Now, with healing, we're supposed to already have that. That's already ours. So the battle really is in ourselves.
That's right.
To overcome what appears to be sickness.
Hey, Jesse.
Hi, Steve. Just keep listening. Whenever you come up, I'll keep watching the screen, okay? So what we were saying, Steve, is that without a battle, there's no victory. So the battle isn't there for us to lose. The battle is there for us to overcome and succeed, and that's how God is. He never, like I told you, I was at a court battle, and very frightened. And, you know, there were times when the enemy would use all kinds of fear tactics on me. And God, one day, I mean, how bizarre is this? This is so cute. I was watching a children's movie with Aiden and my husband, and superimposed on one of the scenes, it's Night of the Museum 2, superimposed on one of the scenes where they all win and they go, "We have the victory." God put this in huge letters, like big stone letters, and it said, "Without a battle, there is no victory." And he was encouraging me so that I knew this wasn't just, I was going to be left to the wolves, that he was with me and that I would overcome. But I couldn't even overcome if I didn't have the battle. There would be nothing to overcome. So that's, in that case, he was telling me that. Now with yours, William, you're already meant to be healed and whole. There's no, you shouldn't have to fight for that. The fight that you do have is that the enemy is trying to change the facts.
Hey.
Hello. The enemy is trying to change the facts where he can try to convince you that it isn't true. And that's all he's got. Smoke and mirrors. Okay, to frighten you, you know what I always look at is if when we're attacked in whatever shape or form, whether it's physical or financial or relational, whatever, if we then draw closer to God and His Word, the enemy always loses, guaranteed. And that's where we approach it from. And that's the same for people that we pray for. You know, if we're praying for someone and we're not seeing an immediate result, it doesn't mean that we give up or we agree with what we see. We always agree with the Word. And I mean, you already know that, but I think sometimes that becomes a real test for us. And what does it say about count it all joy when we fall into various trials?
Hey.
Hello. We count it all joy when we fall into various trials. It's like, William, for you, the trial isn't, oh, you're sick. The trial is not believing it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not that we get caught up and think, oh, I've got to fight for my healing. No. That's not what I'm fighting for. I'm already healed and I'm kicking out sickness. That's what I'm doing. But where I'm going to triumph, or what my trial is that I have to overcome, which is going to produce patience, which is going to increase my faith, is that I'm not going to believe what the enemy says. And, you know, and that's in healing others and for ourselves and any circumstance. You know, any circumstances whatsoever. So, and the way you've handled it is exactly what you do. You start feeding yourself on the truth of the Word of God, whether it's by fellowshipping with another believer who believes this, or whether it's watching a ministry, or whether it's cracking open the Bible. You immediately go to Him. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what you've done. You've gone in to His, He's your refuge. And he will be the one who helps you overcome. So, you know, so that's the, so you're handling that really, really well. And, Bartek's still there. Yep. Okay. Now, Bartek, you may have any questions that you might have, or William, if you have a question, you can either say it verbally or write it down on the screen. And we'll go from there.
For me or Bartek?
Oh, either one. Well, William, you ask if you have something.
For me?
Yes.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been, and this has been for quite a long time, and I haven't got a grasp of it yet.
Okay.
Which I believe is very powerful.
Okay.
The Bible talks about meditating on the word.
Yes. Yes.
And I've never really got to being able to get a clear grasp of that. Have you ever thought about it, talked about it, read about it?
Yes, yes. Not as much as I should, but what you know what I found is that meditating on the word, sometimes God will bring a scripture to mind, okay?
Yeah.
And for a particular issue that you're either going to face or you're facing. And what it, so he'll give you, you know, just a verse. Like today, he gave me this verse, and it was, I'm just reading it now. Well, he gave me the whole chapter, but one verse stood out in relation to something that I'm looking at right now. And it said this. It's two verses. It says, it's 2 Corinthians 6. It says, we then, as workers together with him, Jesus, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Because there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people running around and they're doing what they call doing the word, but they're actually, they don't understand grace at all. And
that's 2 Corinthians 1:2-1?
2 Corinthians 6:1.
Okay.
And I'm only giving it as an example. I don't know that we're gonna study it or anything, but I just want to use it as an example. And then later down on verse 3, it says this, and this is one of the, God gave it to me today to tell me this is how you run your ministry. And it says, we give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. Now for me, with where we're going and what we're doing, that is a really important scripture. Now that would be one that I would meditate upon. And when I meditate upon it, I look it up in the Greek, the words I'm not sure of, even the words that I may be sure of, but I actually find out it means more, because I went and looked up the word offense, and it was amazing. It said to basically not lead anyone else into a sin or error. That's what that means. So if you're in ministry, you have to be very watchful that you're not leading anyone else astray because of your own beliefs or what you're, even what you're learning. You might be learning something, but you might be in process, and that's not all that you've learned. You know, you're going to learn more along the way. I've seen people who are teaching other people, but they're not teaching them from love at all. They're leading people astray. And so what in terms of your question, William? Yeah. In terms of your question, William, when I meditate on the word, and I mean, there's some people that are just so, we probably should look some people up. And I think Charles Capps is really good about that, because he talks about declaring it, about reading it, you know, getting the word into you as a substance, really, and a transforming substance, which builds your faith, which brings faith.
Why does this dog do it?
Aiden?
My whole
bedroom. Okay. Shh. I'm online right now. Okay, I'm trying to get you, William, as well. Oh, it stopped recording. Oh no, it is. So I'm actually gonna look it up and find out what is God saying when we're supposed to meditate on the word. So when I find that,
hello?
It talks about meditating. Okay, here we go. 78. I'm going to look it up in the Greek, in the Hebrew. This one's Hebrew. And we'll find out what is he actually telling us to do.
What chapter?
We're on, right now, don't worry about that. That was just an example. we're just gonna look up what meditating actually means and go from there, and we'll see what it says. To ponder, it means to ponder, to converse with oneself aloud, utter, talk, speak, pray, commune. So that's a lot, isn't it? It also means contemplation, communication, babbling. That's what it means, William. So I'm so glad it means that, because that's how I meditate on the word. I go and talk to God about it. You know, I look at it. You still there, William? I don't know if William.
I'm here.
Okay. I look at it. I analyze it from the standpoint of, okay, so I look at the original language, go back to that, find out what that actually means, because that the original language is so much richer in terms of the depth of meaning. And then I talk to God about what he's saying to me. Like, why is that important? And you know what? You'll meditate on the word. It's almost having a lolly in your mouth. You know how your lolly will melt and dissolve and you'll absorb it? That's what meditating is. You absorb it into you, and it starts to, you know, you start to digest it. So you're sucking on this lolly, the word, and it, you know, you get the sweetness of it, and maybe even the punch of it. Maybe it's a hard word. It depends on what God's teaching us. And we absorb it into our system. That's really how you do it. From my experience of doing it, and from what it's saying there, that's what you do. You're talking, you're complaining. It even says complaining. Isn't that amazing? We get so hung up on we're not allowed to say anything negative. Complaining. Meditating. It even means that. So it's not just, having a nice thought about the word. It's being really engaged in it and chewing on it. And getting all the goodness, all the nutrients out. Isn't that a great description? Isn't that wonderful? That way it gives you free rein to really dig into the word. You know, you can slather it all over. You get muddy with it. It's not something we're supposed to be real careful with. Oh, we better not hurt the word. No, get into it. Rub it all over you. Chew it up. Find out what it really means. Digest it. And then it will become a part of you. So the declaration, the declaring it is the first part, isn't it? We start declaring it whether we believe it or not. Then we meditate on it, we chew it, we discuss it, we complain to God, we talk to him about it, we pray about it. We are engaged fully with the word. That's what meditating is. Isn't that great? I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that till you asked that. So that's how we're meant to approach it. So now, Bartek, do you have a question at all that you wanted to ask, if you're still there? And you can write it down. I'll just write to you, Bartek, so you can hear me. Oh, good, he's writing. Okay. Okay. All right. When something will appear, he'll write. Okay. If there's nothing appearing yet. All right. So in terms of that, hi, Steve. Steve, you had something to say about this John Woost version. Tell us about that.
I don't really know how to explain that. Well, it's just I was told it was the most accurate translation from the Greek and Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
That it was the closest that you could find.
Okay. All right. So have you been reading that? I don't know.
It's different. It's definitely different than, reading any of the other translations.
I mean, there's a lot of similarity there, but then you come up on things that's, oh man, you know, it's more direct. It's more in line with our way. It's actually, it's more in line with our way of thinking than anything I've ever read.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check out where to get one. Because that does become a confusion with the word. There's the confusion with the word where people misuse it, you know, in a condemning way. And this is the one thing I'm getting more and more and more, that condemnation in any shape or form is never from God for a believer. You know, it's never from God. And so we can't ever, I was listening to that preacher Joseph Prince in Singapore. He's very much, he kind of has embodied grace in his teaching. Grace is what he does. And one of the things he says, when they break down, Joseph, I'll write it down for you. You could see him on YouTube.
Okay.
And he's from Singapore, and he's totally into what grace actually means. And he has a church called the New Creation Church. And he's actually, his main focus is to free Christians from believing they're still condemned. And they still have to do works to gain grace. So, because we still, you know, there's a group of people right now that are doing this, you know, that are going out, and they're in California, actually, and, you know, and doing some great work, getting amazing, you know, amazing healings, amazing results. But amazing results. But they're not doing it from a foundation of love. They end up with the person they may, that they're ministering to, but they end up berating the church continually. And that's not their job. They're not to do that. You know, condemnation doesn't come from God, so... You know who else you're speaking, don't you? The language of condemnation is from the devil. So whenever we hear that, whether it's from people or from ourselves or from some, you know, dreams or whatever, condemnation is never from him. And if we can really get a hold of that, because it actually says, you know that scripture, Romans 8:1, it says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It actually means you can never be condemned again, ever. And it makes sense, because if he took every punishment for us, all judgment's been paid for, then how could we ever be condemned again? You know, we don't. Why do we live in this reality that says, well, if I do a naughty thing today, even though I'm in Christ, I better confess and I better do it quick, or I'm going to lose my fellowship with God. It doesn't work like that. That's like making us responsible for forgiveness. He's the one who died on the cross. You know, it's amazing how we put it in our own hands again. It's been, you know, if we're not constantly watching ourselves and making sure we're living righteously, we're going to lose. What some people think, they lose their salvation, or we're going to at least lose that peace and approval of God. And that's not how it works. His grace is a continual flowing. And I'm learning about grace because I've asked God to teach me. I want to understand this thing that the church has maligned, really, and misinterpreted and made it conditional. Then it's not grace, is it? If it's conditional, there's no grace in it. So, and that's one to meditate on, isn't it, William? We can meditate on grace. What grace really means. You know, what a word. You know, I'm going to look that up in my concordance. What is grace? You know, I mean, we know that it means unmerited favor and all of that. That's what we're taught. But what does it really mean to God, that grace? And how does it affect our lives? So... I'm just going to look up where it talks about in Romans grace, because that's one of the key scriptures. 54:85. Okay, I'm going to look it up now and see what God says about grace. Because we can have a real limited view of what it is. And I'm just finding it now, sorry. Okay, it's a long one, so I won't read everything. Where's the 54:85? It means divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life, including gratitude, favor, thanks, pleasure, benefits, gifts, liberality. Grace indicates favor on the part of the giver and thanks on the part of the receiver. So grace comes from him. We only need to receive it. We don't need to earn it. That so makes sense, doesn't it? That it's not something that we can generate. We can't make for ourselves. We can't be good enough to have it. Because it's imparted by the giver, God. Without any condition. I'm just trying to hang on a second. If grace removes guilt, then we have no reason or right to feel guilty. And we can't be condemned because his grace is what paid for everything, paid for our sins. And isn't it funny? You know, I was reading this Joseph Prince, one of his books called Destined to Reign. And he has a huge church, and I'm usually very wary of huge churches. But he has an amazing message, and I'm not going to let that taint me. And he talked about it. He said, people say this is a basic teaching, but it's not really. Because so many people live in condemnation in the body. So anyway, that's one for us to meditate on, you know, grace. In fact, we could all meditate on grace. So we can chew it and, digest it or swallow it, digest it and let it become a part of us. That's meditating. So, does anyone else have any other questions right now? Besides everybody getting dropped. It's becoming a drop fest here. Yes, you're there. I'm not sure how you can hear. And Steve's there. Bartek, you're writing something. Okay. Oh, maybe we all need to write. Okay. All right, that's a good note, Steve. We'll look at if we all have the latest version of Skype, and we'll try and download that. Now, Bartek, I can't hear you, but I know you're speaking. But I'm waiting for your message down below. And see what that is. I think grace should be our message today. This should be our topic because it's so huge. And I want to actually read some of the things that I've read that are amazing from this book. And some of it's just from the Bible. Okay, if you go to Romans 5:17. It's an amazing scripture. So when you have it, just guys, let me know. I'll write that down in case somebody didn't hear. And it tells... Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, that is great, Bartek. That's exactly what grace covers. So can everybody read what Bartek wrote? It says, the pressure appears when doing the work of the gospel is concerned, that you have to prove you're saved. Christians do not have problems with their former sins. They often are afraid that they're not really following Jesus. And isn't that the way it is? It's like, okay, I was covered.
Yeah, I can read.
Could you read it?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, great. So it's like we think we're covered until the day we get born again, and then we're all in trouble again. You know, and oh, now I might make a boo-boo. I might make a mistake, and God's going to disfavor me, or I'm going to be kicked out of the kingdom, or I haven't been doing the word the way I should, so obviously I'm not really a Christian, all of that. And grace is covered, his blood covered before, during, and after our entire lives, the whole gambit of our lives, before we were born even. So how in the world could it not cover sins that we may commit after we become born again? And people don't want to agree with that, and the reason they don't is they're afraid everyone's just going to run around and sin. But when you get the level of grace that's been measured out to you by God, which is basically immeasurable grace, why would you want to sin anyway? You wouldn't actively be doing it. So the whole idea of grace is, listen to this in Romans 5:17. For if by the one man's offense, we know what offense means now, leading someone astray, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So he's telling us that he's given us the gift of righteousness and abundant grace. Nothing earned, nothing we can ruin. We can't ruin this. And we really think we can. So I think, Bartek, that is such a important aspect of living as a Christian. Because I find that people will get saved and everybody tells them, just come as you are. And then once you're in, it's like, oh, now you better be good. Yeah. That's right, Bartek. It is difficult for us to look at it like that. That's right. But if we actually, it's kind of like, I just see it like this river. There's this river of grace, and we're in it, and we're constantly in it, and it never stops. It doesn't cease. It doesn't get dammed up anywhere along the way. We think it does because of our actions, as if Jesus Christ on the cross and the blood he shed and the power of God through that could be stopped by my making a mistake and saying something nasty to somebody. I'm so powerful. I can stop the blood of Jesus. That's what we're implying. So it's just it's finished. You know, he said it is finished. It's a finished work. I just want to read some of, here we go. I'm going to read some of this from this book, the Joseph Prince one. It said, because it addresses exactly what you're saying, Bartek. Okay, and so I hope you can hear it. All right, it says, we have been taught in the church to focus on achieving, on doing, and on relying on our self-efforts. We are driven to do, 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 forgetting that Christianity is actually done, done, done. The world, amen. Sorry?
I said amen to that.
Amen, isn't it amen, yeah. The world tells you that the more you do, the harder you work and the more hours you put in, the more success you will achieve. The world's way is to nag you, to work harder, to do more, to achieve more. What believers do is that they take the system of the world and apply it to their Christian life. Instead of depending on God's grace for his favor and blessings to flow, they depend on their self-efforts by trying to deserve God's favor and blessings. Yet God's way is not for us to be blessed by our own efforts. You cannot earn God's blessings by your performance. God's blessings are based entirely on His grace. His blessings over your life have to be undeserved, unearned, and unmerited. Otherwise, they're not blessings. In other words, there's nothing that you can do to deserve them. For they are based entirely on receiving Jesus and through His finished work, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's all it is. God wants us to stop trying to achieve and to begin receiving the favor, blessings, and healing that Jesus accomplished on the cross. When He hung on the cross some 2,000 years ago, He cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished." So everything that you and I require to reign in this life was accomplished at Calvary on our behalf already. That's why we call what Jesus did on the cross His finished work. He finished it. He completed it. It is done. The only thing that works is the finished work. Stop doing what's already done. Stop doing and start receiving what Jesus has done. Now, and this is from this book. I'll write down the book if any of you guys are interested, called Destined to Reign.
Okay.
Okay, and it's all grace. And somebody sent it to me from Singapore. And I'm really glad they did. And just before they did, I was asking God, teach me grace. I want to understand this because I think it is so poorly taught in the church. In fact, if anything, it's almost invisible. Except when you first come to Christ, then it's all grace, grace, grace. Come, come, come. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You don't have to earn it. And then once you're in, it's like, okay, now you have to earn it. Now you have to be good enough. Now you better, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's, or otherwise you get the boot. And so I'm just amazed that grace is, if we really get a hold of this, it means we can live in freedom. That's what grace does. It lets us live in freedom. And then I don't have to, like Bartek, I hope you're still there. Then Bartek, are you still there? Okay, good. Then I don't have to, or you don't have to, Bartek, to run around praying for people in the street to prove we earned God's grace or we're worthy of His love. He's already flowing in grace and love through us and for us and upon us. And that's where we can do healing from, that place of grace. I've already received not just the blessings of God, but peace with God. We are reconciled to Him forevermore. And we don't have to do anything to make that happen. In fact, we can't do anything to make that happen. And just a minute, guys. I'm just going to pause for a second. I actually am back and we are recording again. Okay, so I think, like I said, I think we should meditate on grace, huh? Chew it and babble about it and pray about it. And ponder it and digest it, all of those things. And you can do it for the rest of your life. You know, and okay, Bartek, so are you saying it's a minefield grace itself or just the way the church approaches it? What do you mean? Because I'm just reading this, William, so that I can actually put this on the tape. So Bartek has said it's a real minefield. There are moments in our life when it works well and then suddenly. So tell us what you mean about that, Bartek, even though we can't quite hear you. Just write it down. So I think you're right, but I'm not exactly sure what the minefield is. And the one thing I'm finding too, I'm directing this both of you, but a bit more to William because he's in this situation where he's overcoming illness, is that we also have to realize we don't have to earn our healing. The only thing that we're battling is a lie. You know, you don't have to do anything good enough, William, to earn a clean bill of health. It's already yours. The only thing that you're working on is removing the deception. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that way we're not like thinking, oh, I got to say the word enough, or I've got to believe harder, or I got to get my faith better so that I can get this healing. No, it's your healing. All you're doing is learning how to negotiate in a minefield, because down here on Earth, the enemy is trying to destroy you and it's trying to hurt you and kill you and everything. You've got to negotiate through that. You know, it's like being in the ocean and you've got all these mines and you're a little submarine. You got to be careful you don't hit one of those. So when he slaps you with a doctor's report that says all these negative things, you like, okay, I'm avoiding that. I'm not going to run into that and get exploded. And that's all you're doing. You know, you're not earning God's grace of healing, because that's a grace too, isn't it? His healing is a gift. It's nothing we earn. And because we've become so knowledgeable in some ways of how to practice being a Christian, we can get mixed up and think that I actually have to do this better in order to get the thing to happen. And that's not what we're really doing. We're just removing what's there that's stopping us from receiving the grace and the healing and the gifts that are already ours. So that's a completely different way of looking at it. I heard this woman say once, she had severe MS, and it took her 2 years to overcome, and she was going blind, she couldn't walk, everything. And what she realized is, she said, I've now got a revelation that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So therefore, I am a healed person casting sickness out. I am not a sick person trying to get healed.
That's what I've just typed.
Oh, have you? Oh, I haven't even looked at it. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Just read it there.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
It's true. That's the revelation I also got. It's true. I as a believer,
yes.
I'm not really sick.
Yes.
But, so we're just fighting off the devil who is stealing or attempting to steal
yes.
our faith.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to steal our healing, actually.
Exactly. Perfect. Now, Bartek, back to yours. When you say it's so close to deeds, yes. Now, you're talking, Bartek, what we discussed the other night, I think. Well, William, we had this amazing session. God was, it was just so Holy Ghost inspired. And we discussed how in this kind of new, I suppose you'd say, reawakening of the church, that they realize, you know, healing's for today. We can go out and pray for any stranger. We can get them healed. All of this, that there is some in the body that are making that a condition of really being a believer. It's like a new legalism. And it's very unhealthy. And it is what God told me today in that scripture, that I'm to give no offense in anything. So I'm not to lead anybody astray in my ministry so that it may not be blamed. And what some people are doing, although they're having amazing results, you know, getting people out of wheelchairs that have been paralyzed for 20 years and cancer gone and all these other things, what they do after they achieve that, and it's really not their achievement anyway, it's just basically releasing the word, releasing the power of God, they then come back to the church and they berate the church for not achieving the same results. Isn't it, how evil is that? And do you see how the enemy gets in? He takes something absolutely pure, which is that God said, I healed them by my stripes. They're all done. I took every infirmity, every disease, every anguish. That is freedom. And it's been turned into another form of bondage for the believer. That's how cunning the enemy is. And he's using other believers to do it. So it's very confusing to believers that are just getting this message and want to take off with it. They're already being discouraged that they're not good enough. They're not doing enough. They're not getting out enough. And how come you didn't pray for this one and that one? And all I know, in a nutshell, is any condemnation is never from God. And once we know that, we can then distinguish what people are saying. And this is kind of for you, Bartek, too. We can distinguish what people are saying from what God says. So if someone is telling me, beating me down because I didn't get, you know, I didn't pray for five people today, well then, guess who's saying that? It's not God. It's not my daddy. My daddy's not displeased with me. And if he wants me to go out and do that, he's going to equip me. He's going to encourage me. He's going to embolden me. And it doesn't mean that I just sit there and wait till he does all that and zap away and suddenly I'm ready to go out there and be a bold believer. No, I participate in it. So if I'm scared and I see somebody cross the street in a wheelchair or whatever, I can say, look, I really don't want to go. Help me, Lord. it's okay to ask him. I know that person needs help and I want to go up there, but I'm frightened. He doesn't go, oh, you stupid idiot. You know, he says, okay, well, just let's start walking. And you, by the time you get up to the person, you have to say something because you're there. And it just, once you start talking, it just he takes over. And so he'll teach you that way rather than, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you that you haven't gone and, you know, prayed for every sick person you've seen. It's not like that. And I'm finding it's actually a very dangerous teaching the way it's being taught, because it's being taught that if the sign of believers is that they lay hands on the sick and they recover and cast out devils and this, that, and the other, then if you're not having those signs, you're not a believer. That's what's being implied. Isn't that horrible, William?
That's terrible.
There's no new bondage on the church like it needs anymore. This is why I want to learn about grace, so that when I'm teaching people, it comes from that place of grace. It's a gift. Everything we have, all good things are a gift that come from Him. And we're just waiting for your question or your comment, Bartek. I'm just going to see what Bartek said, and then we'll go to Galatians. I don't know. I don't have a message from Bartek. Okay. Anyway, this one is so amazing. Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do you know, I've looked up that word liberty. Do you know what it means? It means back in the Roman or Greek times, a slave who was then freed had to be freed by a person. That person would sign a document, and they would pledge to a god, one of their Greek gods, they would pledge to that god that this person was made free, and they were given over to this god. And the document that they would get said, freed man, you can never be in bondage again, ever, by anyone. That's the liberty that God has given us. Isn't that amazing? So if some little group that thinks they're the bee's knees in the body, and we're the doers of the word, we're the doers of the word, we're the doers of the word, and they're hammering everybody else in the body for not doing it as good as them, Guess who they're fighting? Guess who they're on, whose side they're on? If God told me I'm in liberty forever, you have no right. You close your mouth. You are a roaring lion trying to capture me, seeing whom you can devour. Now that is horrendous. And you know the thing is, you can have power without love. You can get amazing results of healing and miracles without love. And that's what they're doing. Because the power is there. You if you have the faith, he says, if you have all faith to move mountains, so that means you can do it without love. But then he also says at the end of that phrase, you are nothing. And that's where I'm teaching from. When people are, you know, when I want to encourage them or embolden them or equip them to pray for people and heal the sick and cast out devils and all of that, that's only part of being a Christian. That's not the whole walk. It's relationship with God. And if you have your relationship with God right, you will have power and love, like I've written up here, in tandem. Both pedals keep you upright. They both are going. It's not one or the other. And it's a very volatile approach to just use power. It's just like people with a lot of money. And if they don't use it responsibly, they can harm. But the money still has the power. It doesn't. The money still gives you that power. So it's the same thing. So not that you're in any way influenced by that, William, but Bartek has been. And it's been very painful for him to have to suddenly get this new message, be all excited that, oh my goodness, we don't have to put up with illness. God's grace covers this. He's healed them by his stripes. And then to be told you're not good enough if you don't do it continually. So it's a trap. And not everybody falls into it, but there are quite a few that are. And I can tell with you, William, you won't. You're not in that place. you know, you won't be caught in that. You have a real, there's a lot of us that don't have that same peace. And maybe connection with God. So there's still this desire to earn it. But I don't think you're in that realm at all. So I doubt that you would hit that minefield.
Oh no, I had a revelation many years ago. I shared it with you some years ago. It was in London, where the Lord literally walked in our room and we got a revelation of grace. Actually, the other word for grace is favor, and that's exactly what it totally revolutionized my life. That was in 1998 in London.
Oh, tell us about it.
It's breaking. It wouldn't be so clear, but
it's clear here. It's clear over here on this side.
It's a bit long, but I was with another pastor, and we had been flying, and in the night, the presence of the Lord came in the room. I stood up, went to the kitchen, and then when I came back, he got up and he said, "You can't sleep too?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Neither can I." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "It's that grace favor revelation."
Wow.
And I said, "Ah." And then I'll take off the light, and then something would pop in my head about the favor of God. And it's a long story, but think about this. Even God kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden, that was grace.
Yes.
Because the only way he would redeem mankind back to himself was by kicking them out of the garden.
That's right.
Otherwise, they would have stayed in their sinful state because they would eat of the tree of life.
That's right. God gave me that one years ago, too. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It was kindness. It was his kindness.
And so many other things. Mm. And I got totally free.
Wow.
So I understand when they talk about when you're talking about no condemnation.
Yes.
Yes, for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, and it is a revelation, and I think we should people who don't have that need to actually allow him to minute. I just really feel like this. And Bartek, I'm going to pray this. Are you still there, Bartek? Yes, good. Okay, I'm just going to pray this, William, and because you have that deep understanding, if you can stand in agreement with us, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I'm going to pray this for myself as well, and for Bartek, and even for my family. And maybe you can pray for Alexandra this, Bartek, too, for her. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we want you to minister to us the revelation of grace in the deepest part of our hearts and souls, Father. In Jesus' name, that we would understand it, that we would never again be fooled or tricked or deceived by condemnation, that we would be free to the utmost, Lord, free, completely free, and we would wear and embody that liberty that you paid for us and you bought for us with the blood of Jesus. We would walk in it, we would sing in it, we would dance in it, glory in it, and we would glorify you by sharing it and imparting it to others. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, teach us grace, Daddy, forevermore. Have us know it, live it, and be it. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I want. And then, even those that group that is running around berating the body, I can even deal with them in grace.
That's true.
You know, and I haven't. I've been incredibly angry because I've seen so many people hurt by this particular type of teaching and then these people who are kind of disciples of this teaching. And I'm just going, well, Jesse, if you really get overwhelmed by grace, and that's what I want, Lord, overwhelm me with grace, then I will be able to even deal with them with grace. And I might be able to approach them, you know, online. I don't, you know, they live in America. And be able to talk to them from a different place because no one can get through to them. They attack like pit bulls. And I also can pray from a better place too. So Bartek, we're on the grace train now.
Amen.
Woohoo! And he can reveal now, because we've given him permission, we want to know this. And he can do it, whether it's in dreams, whether it's looking at little birdies making a nest, whatever it is. Because his revelation comes, like you said, William, in so many moments, in so many thoughts. You know, he can just overwhelm you with the truth.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you what happened was for about a year, the wife of my supervisor, for whatever reason, she just did not like me. And she used to say, you know, all kinds of things that were not true.
Yeah.
And people would come and say, she said this, she said that. And I started taking offense, you know.
Yes.
And I wouldn't talk to her deliberately. And then about a few, maybe about 2 months ago, God spoke to me about this grace thing again, like you said. I have received grace.
Mm.
So who am I to be offended by anybody or whatever they say?
Mm.
So I decided to go. First of all, I called her husband and I told him, you know what? I want to talk to your wife because I've heard that, you know, they said she said this and that and that. And he said, oh, wonderful, talk to her. So immediately he called her and she came and sat down. And when we sat down, I told her, you know what? I want to ask for your forgiveness. And she said, what? I said, no, listen. I had a part to play in this. And so...
We lost you there, William. You had a part to play.
Absolutely. And later on when I shared with other people that I had gone, they said, why? She's just going to be mean to you. I said, no. No, I am the adult person. I'm acting as an adult in this situation. And I told her, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Because the reason I'm saying I had a part to play is because when I would see her, I would avoid her.
Mm.
I would, so that meant I harbored anger and what did I call it before? I had unforgiveness.
Yes.
And at times, you know, I probably pretended that I had forgiven her, but I was in denial. I had not truly released her, you know. And that's what grace does, like you say. Let me take you back full circle to where you started. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1.
Yes.
It says, as God's fellow servants, workers, okay, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain.
Yes.
If I don't reach out and exercise grace, then it means I've received God's grace in vain.
Mm. Excellent.
I don't truly understand and appreciate what grace did for me.
That's right.
I was guilty.
Mm.
I was condemned. But I've been set free. I'm not condemned anymore. Just like remember the parable that Jesus gave about the servant, one who was forgiven?
Yes.
So that's where grace also comes in. One did not appreciate grace. The other one appreciated grace. And I want to be the one who understands the favor, the grace, hallelujah, of God that's been extended to me.
Yes.
When I said nobody, he has made me a king and a priest, and I reign with him today.
Hallelujah.
And it's all because of grace and favor.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I can't afford to be offended.
No. Exactly. Perfect. Perfect. It's, this is brilliant. Because it's a practical application of how grace works in your life.
Yeah. Right.
Because
it
means, it's great. Your teaching today, William. It's, you know, it's, which is what I love.
Let me tell you something that's interesting. After, there were about three or four people that I had told I was going to do that, to meet with these two people.
Yeah.
And those four people said, no, let us first talk to you. And I, when I got up in the morning, I said, God, I don't need any permission from any man.
Yes.
I know what's right to do.
That's
I'm
right.
going to do it.
Mm.
So when I went ahead and sat down with her husband and later on with the wife, and I told her, you know what, I'm asking you to forgive me. I had a part to play in this, and I told her. And then after our conversation, I went back, and these four people started attacking me now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing. But when I explained to them the reason why I had gone and actually asked for forgiveness, I told them, you know what, I'm not going to attack these people.
Yes.
I'm just going to go there and ask for their forgiveness. And, you know, like I said, just as I received forgiveness from, you know, when we come before the Lord as sinners, he doesn't attack us. He doesn't remind us of what we did to him and against him.
That's right.
It's unconditional love. It's unconditional forgiveness. And he just opens his arms wide. In fact, you know what I did? When that lady came to my office, when her husband said, go talk to William, when she came, the first thing I did, Jesse, do you know what I did?
No.
I opened my arms and I
hugged her. That's what I saw. I just saw you hugged her.
Believe it, in the hug. That's exactly what I did. It shocked her.
I bet.
And then when we went and had our conversation, after our brief conversation, I hugged her and I said, I release you. You know, I forgive you. In fact, I told her, I don't want us to discuss any of the things they have said or what you did. That is water under the bridge. It's gone.
Yeah.
I have forgiven you and released you.
Yeah.
Now, what happened afterwards is, this is very interesting. Two of the ladies in that office, when they had very, very difficult, like one of them, her brother was going to have surgery, she sent me a confidential email and said, I have not talked to anyone about this. My brother's going to have heart surgery, but can you pray? He's going to for surgery in 5 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
He lives in Chicago, and she asked me to pray. And I told her, okay, I'm going to pray right now. So I went outside and prayed, and I told her, here's my cell phone number. You can call me 24/7 anytime if you need me.
Wonderful.
And she called me one time when it was close to midnight. It was about midnight, and she called me.
Wow.
And then after that, just like a week ago, her grandfather was about to pass away. He was very sick. She sent me an email, and she said, I'm going to go to Hawaii, but please, can you pray for my grandfather? Can you pray for my family? And so, you see, when I exercised grace, it opened door for ministry.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And that's how it's meant to be.
And there's another one who is... Yeah.
That's exactly what we're meant to do. And it is the... You know, as you were talking, William, I was just thinking... And Bartek, I mean, this is for all of us. I was just thinking, now, in a legalistic viewpoint of Christianity, people would even say, well, if you didn't forgive her, well, then you would lose your grace. You would not be operating. And God is so good that even if you never forgave her, you still have his grace. Rather than it, now the grace that he gave you,
absolutely.
You know, the grace that he gave you in motivates you to pour it out to someone
right.
else, but it isn't conditional. Oh, I'll have grace if I do a good thing. And that's where it gets mixed up.
Oh,
right?
No.
You know,
no,
right
no.
in that pivotal place.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
And I'm okay. just thinking, because I've had that as well, that kind of thinking, rather than, okay, isn't it wonderful that it motivates a person to then share that grace with somebody else, rather than it being, oh, I better do this because God's going to be mad at me if I don't forgive them. which is where most people do it from. And there's no depth or reality to it. It's just a duty. Okay, I've done what I was supposed to do. Completely different. So Bartek. Now Bartek, what you had something here about, or you just were writing this thing about, because we were talking about this, William, like instead of it being all about getting a result, you know, you see somebody with a crutch and you pray for them and amazingly their leg is healed and that's all exciting, that I said you don't even have to worry about that. You don't even need to start there. You can bless somebody who's having a really horrible day and lay hands on them and bless their day and release the love of God. And that's just as important.
Yes.
Because, you know, exactly, grace and mercy. Because when he says heal the sick and they recover, you know, believers lay hands on the sick, that sick doesn't just include illness. They're sick in heart. They're sick in mind. They're depressed. They're hopeless. And people just seem to pass those people up because they don't happen to have a cast on their arm or a wheelchair on their bottoms, you know? So nobody does anything for them. And I find some of my most amazing moments are just praying for people. Like there was a Christian guy. I didn't know he was Christian. I was at the shopping center yesterday, and there was a guy who looked Black African. And I went up to him. I said, "Oh, where are you from?" And he said, "Oh, Kenya." And I said, "Oh, I know someone from Kenya." And I said, I just started telling him that we pray for people and God heals them. And I said, "Do you need anything, any prayer for anything in your life? You know, whether it's physical or your finances or circumstance?" He said, "Well, I'm looking for a job." I said, "Okay, give me your hand. Let's pray for that for you." And I asked him all details about what kind of job he wanted and this, that. And he was all a bit mixed in two camps about what type of job. So I just went, "Let's just go for the dream job." So I prayed that, prayed for favor, prayed for him to, you know, be a blessing there and be blessed. And I didn't even know he was Christian. And then God showed me this picture of him having this warm fire in his heart, you know, like about four or five nice logs and the fire burning, but not a wild fire, just a nice warm fire that would continually keep you warm. And I told him, I said, "You have this wonderful warm fire in your heart." And I said, "And God loves it. It delights him." You know, and now that's going to touch somebody just as much as if their pain in their back went away. And I mean, yes, we want all their pains to go away, and we're not suggesting that we don't go for healing. Absolutely, go for healing. But healing is multi-leveled. And if somebody's, you know, here he is in another country, he has no family here, so he'd be pretty lonely. And, you know, okay, he's a Christian, but I found out later he's a Christian. Australia, yeah. There's a lot of Black Africans in Australia. A lot from, where is it, Zimbabwe. And we have a lot of white South Africans here, too. Huge amount in Western Australia. And so, you know, people are like strangers. And, you know, anyway. So Bartek, that one really is for you as well. That, yeah, it is a good definition of sickness, isn't it? It's not just broken arms and paralysis in wheelchairs. That's just a very physical. And of course we want to address it. Of course we want it healed. But that's not all we want healed. God is showing me more and more. Heal the whole person. I had a lady here the other day. Now, she was a Christian. They were stopping by on the way down south for a cup of coffee in our little town. So they came by to our house. And she had all these physical things going on. She had her ears weren't working right. She had knee problems. You know, God kept showing me all these different things. And as I would pray for one thing, he'd show me, okay, she's got a problem with her neck. Okay, she's got a problem with her knees. And we just were doing like an overhaul. And then she's starting to cry. And I said, "Oh, it's the Holy Spirit." And she goes, "Yes." And her husband was here. And obviously it was something to do with the two of them. So I took her in the bedroom so we could pray privately because she was going to hold it back. And we prayed all kinds of things, you know, to heal her soul. And she was so happy when she left. Because it wasn't just about, you know, and some of the aches and pains went completely. Some were in process. Her hearing was healed because she could hear whispers clearly. But I was looking at her whole person, and I put this thing up on my Facebook post because I Facebook things basically just to be a sober voice in the insanity of, they're not body parts. He died for them. And that's how we have to look at people. You know, the way he looks at them. And there's this one, and Bartek's gotten caught in this, and I was caught in it too, this one teaching that tends to, although it's very freeing initially, because it tells you it really is possible right now, you can heal, everyone can be healed, they're meant to be healed, you have authority, da-da-da, but then it goes into condemning, saying, if you don't do it, well, are you a believer? And that's where it goes wrong. Isn't that awful? William, isn't that horrible?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't look like that. I'm not going to mention the name of the ministry, and I know you know it anyway. But it's what God showed me. When you're in ministry, the enemy is looking for a hole. He's looking for a way in to pervert it. To pervert your ministry. And if he can find something in you, like if you got pride, ooh, he's in. Or if you've got insecurity, or if you don't understand grace, he's in. And God, I'm feeling like he's educating me now to be very, very, he told me to be vigilant and sober, to be very careful, and to be very self-examining, not in a way where I'm, you know, paranoid, but in a way where I'm being open and honest with him. Lord, this isn't working, or I'm doing something here and it feels horrible, or I'm coming from the wrong approach. I'm wanting to pray. I'm praying for people and I'm just tacking up bodies, or I'm not seeing results. Now, what have I done? What's gone wrong? Or, you know, whatever it is, constant self-examination, not from a point of view of being tormented or burdened by it, but knowing that I need to be clean and he wants that out of me, all those things. So I always say to him nearly every day, this Todd White prayer, shake what needs shaking, Lord, break what needs breaking, but have your way in and through me this day, that who they see is Jesus in me. And that's it. And then he will show me things that I need to drop. And then I have a choice about, it doesn't mean his grace has left me. It doesn't mean he loves me less. It doesn't mean he's not delighted with me. It simply means that isn't going to honor the kingdom. That is not going to bring fruit for the kingdom. And it's actually going to hurt you. And you don't want it anymore. No, I don't want that. I don't want the competition. I don't want to have to prove, oh, I could get so many people healed today. Which is where, for a while, I had that mindset. But when I love them, when I'm just loving them and the heart of God is looking at them, they don't want to let me go. That's the difference. When I'm just wanting to get my little numbers chalked up to say, yeah, I prayed for this many today and I got this many results, they want to get away from me. And that's the difference, isn't it? So... anyway, Bartek, do you have another question, or William, do you have something you can question or contribution, whatever? Because, you know, this is so rich when we do it like this, because it's not just what I'm learning. It's the body of Christ, you know? I'm not William, the member over there in Sacramento, you know? And I'm not Bartek, the member over there of the body in Poland, you know? I'm the member from L.A. in Australia. We're like in Parliament, guys. We're the member from Australia, the member from Sacramento, you know? And we make the one body of the parliament, of the government of God, because the government is on his shoulders, you know? That's and it's just amazing, and we are the kingdom here on earth. And it's exciting then, because everyone's valued. And that makes God's heart sing. So I think your testimony there, William, is brilliant, because I will really think about that. How, you know, there have been people in my life that have said horrible things, and although I may have forgiven them from the standpoint of I'm not having ill thoughts about them or wishing them ill, there certainly hasn't been a resolution.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very different
place. I was totally free when I... when I did that. And I also, because you see, the people in the office know I'm a Christian. And then it was my holding an offense contradicted everything else I said.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it contradicted. And so whatever I said did not have as much power then as it does today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. And God was showing me this thing, and I think this is going to link up. It's just a thought that's kind of coming forth. But the other day, I had prayed for something in our ministry. And what I prayed is that our ministry would continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Not for me, but for others. And someone was praying for me because we've had a lot of hiccups in the financial area. And we were supposed to have all this funding coming through. And the people who are doing the funding have been nearly killed. And I mean, like, really bad attacks, you know. I'm not kidding you. I mean, literally. And so this person was agreeing with me to release that funding and protect these people and all of that. And she said, as she was praying in agreement with me, she said, "I can't see an end to your ministry. There's no end." I said, "I can tell you why. I have declared that it will continue until the day of Jesus Christ." And you know what is amazing? God said to me right then, "What you declare is written in heaven." So when you declare, you know, when we're speaking about God and we are declaring His word and we're believing that word, we declare, like you're believing, "I am a healed person casting out sickness." That's now declared in heaven, William. And that's how heaven will relate to what you've said. They will relate to it like that. So that looses God's will, the angels, and the power of God all at the same time in heaven. It's amazing. And the same thing that you did with that lady, where you, like you said, your if you didn't do that, everything that you were saying would lose its real power. And it is contradicting,
right.
But because you did that, you declared in heaven grace, and grace fell then on other people for you, through you. So it's amazing the power we have, and it's a power not to be sneezed at, obviously, and not to be misused. And some people are doing that. It's a power that sets the captives free on all levels. It's amazing. I don't even think we got the tip of the iceberg of who God is and who He is in us. Like, just barely looking out. We just noticed there was an iceberg. Oh, there's an iceberg there. Oh, okay. You know, we haven't touched it or really looked at it for the most part. I think as the body of Christ, I'm not necessarily talking individually. And that's what people need to know. They need to know their words that are declared are going to either bring, they're either going to bind heaven or they're going to loose heaven. They need to know that grace is bestowed upon them as favor, and it's undeservable, and you can never earn it, and you don't lose it either. Even when you act foolish. Which I think is the hardest thing for Christians to get. If we act foolish, we think we lost the grace of God. You know, if we do something wrong, whether it's a mistake or whether we intended it. And I know my father, I had this experience where these horrible things happened to me, and I was blaming, and this is before I understood the power of the tongue, understood our authority or anything. And I thought God was doing it to me. And I was so angry. And I mean, it was life and death circumstances. This death came through this. So there was real death. And I was so angry at God because I thought it was Him taking, you know, causing the death. And I went out to the desert in the middle of Australia because I just wanted to be, we lived in the desert anyway, but I went way out there to be alone with dingoes, you know, the dingoes out in the middle of Australia, and absolutely lost my cookies lashed out at God, said everything possible that is horrible that you could say to God, just absolutely railed against him. And then by the second day, after I, you know, said I couldn't say anymore, there was nothing left to say. My heart was, you know, I didn't know what else to say. I started praying in tongues, and I told him with the audacity of a little three-year-old, because three-year-olds are pretty, you know, sassy, I said, okay, you can heal me now. And you know what he did? He healed me. He gave me, I had just lost a child. And it had been more than once. This was the second time. And I lost four altogether. And he gave me this joy, unspeakable joy, that no one should have in a place of grief. For about 10 days, a joy, joy, joy. I woke up with it the next morning. And I knew, I thought, this is insane. I'm not supposed to feel joy. My baby just died. And I knew it was him saying, I'm healing you now. And that from that moment on, I knew that I could be as real as I wanted to be with God. And he would never forsake me and he would never leave me. And people had told me, you can't say those things to God. Oh, you can't talk like that to God. And I thought, if I can't talk like that to God, there's no point in having a relationship with him. If I can't give my whole heart, all my wounds, my anger, my pain, what does he say? Cast your care upon me, for I care for you. And that's totally freed me of being who I'm supposed to be with him. And once in a while, I still go back to thinking I have to be a good little girl, and then I go, no, I better just talk to you, Lord, because this is just not working. And he listens. And he says the most wonderful things. So, it's just, he's not who we think he is, or who we thought he is he, William? He is so much more.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so much more. So, Bartek, I don't know if you have anything else to add, or William, if you want to say anything more, but I think we're kind of coming to an end. Unless, Bartek, do you have any questions or comments or anything else that you want to share? Because I don't want to leave you out. And I know you can't, we can't hear you, but I know you're there. So just let us know. Oh, he got lost. He got dropped again. Let's see if I can get him. So, but William, it's really good. So, you know, I'm so glad you shared that experience of grace, not just the what you did with it, but the experience of just the revelation. You know how God does it that way? He gives you a personal revelation. How amazing. You know, he's good. That's why when I first prayed for you, you know, I was going to, okay, kick out the sickness, da-da-da, you know, worked on that. But God was just telling me to just pour in, and you were so responsive. It was fantastic. So, Bartek, do you have anything else? Do you have anything else you wanted to share or ask or whatever? Oh, he got dropped again. A bit silly, this. What this lack of understanding of grace has taught me is that when people have they get kind of on a tangent of, okay, we're going to do healing, and you have to do it, and, you know, you must get these results, and otherwise you have no power, and otherwise maybe you're not a believer. When they're doing that, that tells me, and the church gets frightened by it, that tells me they don't understand grace at all. Because otherwise that would have no effect on them, would it? It's not affecting you, is it, William? If you're still there. Are you still there, William?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, so you're not affected by this whole new thing where everybody's telling people, I mean, it's, you know, it's very much a small community in a way, small community of believers, but they're around the world. And there's doctrines that are going out that are saying, like I said before, no, you have the authority, you have the power, go and do it. That part is great, but then if you don't do it well, then you're possibly not even saved. Okay? So if that's scaring people, it's amazing, isn't it? If that's scaring people, that tells me they don't understand grace. Because that kind of teaching would not make you stumble, would it, William?
That's right.
You wouldn't stumble. You'd go, what a bunch of nonsense. Whereas other people who don't understand grace mm-hmm. are thinking it's the truth. Very dangerous. How would you respond? Just tell me, William. How, if you heard that teaching, if you heard that, okay, we have authority, we have you know, power, we're meant to do this, we have authority over all power of the enemy, we're meant to heal the sick, cast out devils, do this, and if you're not doing it, well, are you a believer? If you heard that, how would you respond?
I'll just laugh at it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you would do.
Yeah.
Whereas there's others that don't laugh at it. They actually measure themselves against that and start questioning their salvation. Now that...
That's becoming legalistic. That's
yes.
going back to what you said in Galatians, you know.
That's right.
Because if you look back at the church, I mean, when they would say, if you're a woman and you wore lipstick, you're not really a Christian.
Yes.
You
yes.
know that?
Yes. That's right.
If you're a Christian, you're supposed to dress this way or that way, you know.
Yes, yes.
It's becoming legalistic.
Exactly.
That's nothing to do with.
It's conditional. And what I call it the new legalism. Because it's putting pressure on believers to go out, lay hands
yes.
on the sick, and prove that they're believers. Now, if you're going to go out, lay hands on the sick to prove you're a believer, then where are you going to do that from? You are not going to do it from love. You are going to do it from fear. And even if you get
a result, you're
going to need another result. And it's like a junkie, you know, like a drug addict. You're going to need another hit and another hit and another hit to keep saying, okay, I got approved of today. Whew, today's over. Wow, oh, I'm so glad I prayed for 5 people. Thank God. And then the next day, it's up in your face again. Oh, my goodness, I got to pray again. And then you want to run away from people. And that is not where it's supposed to come from. And unfortunately, there's a couple of ministries. Well, there's one in particular that is espousing this doctrine. And although they originally started out from a wonderful place of freedom to set the captives free, let believers know they can do it. They don't have to wait on the pastor or the healing minister or whatever. They can go out and do it anywhere they are. That's wonderful. But now they've placed on these burdens on these people's backs that if you don't do that, it's implied in many of these teachings that you're not really a believer. And so they're now making it your salvation by works again. And I had to write this thing up the other day on my Facebook because there's so many people being hurt by this. And I wrote up the most simple sentence I could think of. I said, I am saved by grace, not by healings. And, you know, people responded. Now, not those ones that are running around doing it and thinking they're, you know, amazing. But that people responded by saying, that's right, it's about the gospel of God. And another woman responded and said, I think you're the only one that feels that way. It's so good to hear. So she's obviously being pressured. And I know this woman. She has the most insane, horrible life. Can you imagine having that pressure added to you? With a life that is a complete mess, and she's a brand new believer. On top of it all. So I'm just thinking, you know, there's a responsibility that we have to ensure any ministry that we're in, like you said, it doesn't matter whether you're working, you know, in that office. You still have a ministry of reconciliation. We all do. Doesn't matter whether we're an official ministry,
right.
You know, it doesn't matter whether we're an official ministry, you know, we've got our little name and trademark, or whether we just, you know, we go off to the supermarket. It really doesn't make any difference. We're ministers of reconciliation. And I read that the other day when God, when in Paul, I think it's somewhere in Corinthians, and he talks about us being ministers of reconciliation. And he, in fact, I should find it. And it's so, oh, it's right there. It's above. It's in 5. It's in Corinthians 5, 18. And it, so it's just above the Corinthians 6. And it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself." And get this part. This is grace. Here we go. "Not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So he's not imputing their sins to them. We're to reconcile them to the goodness of God, the grace of God, and we certainly are meant to do that with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We cannot impute, even if it's wrong. Okay, so say people never get up off their couch and ever pray for a sick person. Yes, that is wrong. They should be going out and doing it as they go, just in your day, sharing God's love, sharing his power, all of that. But God is saying that we're ministers of reconciliation and we're not to impute their trespasses. He's talking about people who aren't believers. We're not even allowed to impute trespasses to them. So how in the world can we do it to believers? It's back to that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's back to that again. You know, it really is amazing. So if we're have the ministry of reconciliation and we're supposed to reconcile people to God, we have to do that to both believers and unbelievers alike. And so I'm learning all this so that the more that I do ministry, the more aware and responsible I am to those I'm teaching. So that I send the people out who are going to learn this to teach from a place of reconciliation, a place of love, and a place of grace. So that's the fruit I want to produce.
Amen.
And I'm finding people that I've taught about how to go out and lay hands on the sick or whatever, by giving them a few tips, by praying with them, whatever, sharing some experiences. They go out and they're excited. They're happy. They don't feel burdened. And if they do 2 people in a week, I'm telling them, I'm patting them on the back, how great it is. I don't care. It's where you're doing it from that matters more than how many. So, anyway, that's, I'm just, you know, it all ties in, doesn't it? Not to receive the grace of God in vain. That's.
Yep.
You know, that's the intention that we have to have. And that's the hard one where, you know, like you had that situation with this woman, and we all have situations like that where we just ignore it because we don't like it and we don't want to deal with it. And yet we're missing out on the real goodness of the grace of God because look what you did. You shed it abroad by doing that. Your whole office was changed. Perhaps even their marriage was changed.
Yes.
Their marriage might have been changed out of that.
Yep.
You know? So.
Yes.
So obviously it was. So, yeah, amazing. And then you can understand what amazing grace is, can't you? It's not just to save.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, it's not just to save a wretch like me. Everybody gets it, you know? It's for everyone. Oh, that's so good. Well, I think I'm going to leave it there, guys. And we'll I'm going to meditate on grace this week because I've been studying it. And if you want to get that book that I wrote up there, the Joseph Prince one, because he is total grace minister. He's known for it and he's bashed for it. So he must be pretty good. He gets harassed for it a lot.
And I listened to
Oh, have you? Okay, good.
I listened to him usually on Sundays.
Oh, all right. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. Does he have a channel that you listen to him on? Or?
He's on TBN.
Oh, TBN. Okay. All right. I'll have to
check. He's on TBN.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. And because I just have done a little YouTube ones, and I find it's, you know, amazing stuff. In fact, I'm gonna give you this one. Uh-huh. You might already have it, but I'm just gonna give it to you anyway. Let's see. I want to give you this link. Uh-huh. I'll put it down for both you and Bartek because I think Steve's been way gone for a while. And let's see. Here we go. I'll find the link and then I'll just put the address on the Skype. And it's all about no condemnation and how when we're condemned, when we feel condemned, that's the root of our problem. So I'm just going to get this in the address. Okay, and I'll put it here and there. And this is the Joseph Prince one. So I hope that, Bartek, I hope you can hear. I don't know if you can. But there we go. And we'll just pick it up next week. And if you're in terms of any pain, okay. In terms of any pain or discomfort, William, is that gone? Or how is that?
Yeah, no, I don't have any.
Okay.
I don't have any pain actually.
Okay, great.
Right now.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. That's what I just wanted to make sure of. Okay. All right, fantastic. All right, gentlemen, hopefully, yeah. Bartek, you can hear me. It looks like your phone's still open. And we'll talk soon. I'll try and get this and pause it. We'll stop it. And if I can